Okay, our next presenter is Dr. Sosun Ahmed. She is a postdoctoral fellow at San Diego State University in the Child and Adolescent Services Research Center, and she's studying sociocultural effects on adolescent mental health, and she's also affiliated with the Culture, Trauma, and Mental Health Disparity Center at UCLA that Dr. Sumner is associated with. The title of her presentation is The Protective Role of Social Support and Mastery on the Negative Effects of Perceived Stress and Intimate Partner Violence on the Mental Health of Pregnant Latinas Across Sectoral and Longitudinal Investigation. Dr. Ahmed.
Good afternoon. After you heard that paragraph title, I hope. I also want to say that I don't have any financial obligations or interests or anything like that. Okay, just to give you a little bit of background, and before I begin, because I'm also presenting on the same study that Dr. Sumner just spoke about, I'm not going to give you as much background information on the study. But just a quick recap, we know that intimate partner violence and maternal stress have been associated with many negative physical and psychological outcomes for pregnant women. So it is associated with more depression, more anxiety, more post-traumatic stress, more likelihood for obsessive-compulsive disorder, and more somatic complaints. And then also physical health issues like more chronic pain, reproductive disorders, and worse general physical health. Intimate partner violence and maternal stress is also associated with negative outcomes for children. So it is associated with more likelihood of having low birth weight children, and it is associated with child psychological and behavioral problems. So women who report that they've experienced stress while they were pregnant or who report previous exposure to intimate partner violence are more likely to have children who have psychological and behavioral problems later on. However, we know that there are also some resources, psychological and social resources, that might be associated with better pregnancy outcomes for women. So we know that mother's psychological and social resources have been found to be associated with better pregnancy outcomes, less maternal stress, and lower rates of postpartum depression. However, it is unclear whether these resources can actually buffer the negative effects of intimate partner violence and stress. So the study questions are IPV and perceived stress associated with more depression and post-traumatic stress symptoms, cross-sectionally and then longitudinally? And is mastery or sense of mastery and social support associated with less symptoms in general? And do mastery and social support buffer the negative effects of intimate partner violence and stress on depression and post-traumatic stress symptoms? Just a quick recap of the participants. They were self-identified Latinas recruited from prenatal clinics in the Los Angeles area who were in their second or third trimester of their pregnancy. On average, they were about 28 years old. They met federal guidelines for poverty level. On average, they had two children before this pregnancy. We had 44% who had reported exposure or previous exposure to intimate partner violence, and 56% who reported no exposure to intimate partner violence. And about 30% were born in the U.S., and most of our sample were actually immigrants. And about 52% had reported having a high school diploma, and 48% reported not having a high school diploma. The measures for this particular analysis that I'm presenting were the stressors were intimate partner violence as measured by the abuse assessment screen, which asks participants to indicate whether they've had psychological, physical, or sexual abuse in the past. And women who reported that they have experienced any of those types of abuse were given the designation in our study as IPV positive. So you're going to see that IPV positive and IPV negative. And women who reported not having any such exposure were given the IPV negative distinction. We also used the perceived stress scale to measure perceived stress. And as for our moderators or stress buffers that we were hypothesizing, we use the mastery scale to measure a sense of mastery, which is the extent to which a person feels like that they have control over what happens in their lives. And we also use the medical outcome study social support survey for social support. Our outcomes were depression symptoms, as indicated by the Beck Depression Inventory FAST screen for medical patients, and PTSD symptoms, or post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms, as measured by the PTSD checklist civilian version. This is a longitudinal study. I'm going to be presenting data from the first wave, which is from, as Dr. Sommer reported, from when the women were in their second or third trimester of their pregnancy to when they were 13 months post-delivery or postpartum. This is an ongoing study, so in addition to the first wave up until the women were 13 or had their children 13 months ago, we have a second wave that's actually going on right now that's going to follow the mothers and their children 4.5 years after the first wave. And the recruitment goal of the study, so you're going to see that, you know, obviously we have a very high number of women reporting that they've had exposure to intimate partner violence. That was on purpose. The recruitment goal of the study was to try to recruit women, equal numbers of women who had exposure to intimate partner violence and equal number of women who did not have that exposure. So that was on purpose. It wasn't just that we were just a highly stressful sample. And again, as Lakeisha mentioned, that they were recruited from a private medical center and an HMO serving, where clinics that were serving 80% or more Latinas. Going into the analysis, I'm going to be talking about bivariate correlations and also presenting on hierarchical multivariate regressions cross-sectionally, so data from where the predictors and outcomes came from the first time point, when the women were in their second or third trimester of their pregnancy. And then the longitudinal regressions that I'll be presenting will be on where the predictors were gathered in the first time point when the women were pregnant, and then the outcomes were gathered when the 13 months post-delivery. I'm also going to, if there are interactions, because I'm hypothesizing stress buffers, I'm going to plot these interactions, and that's how I'll be testing for moderation in stress buffers. First, bivariate relationships. As you can see, or as you might expect, intimate partner violence was associated with more depression and more PTSD symptoms. More perceived stress was related to more depression and PTSD symptoms. Mm-hmm. Women who reported having more mastery were more likely to report less depression and less PTSD symptoms. And women who reported having more social support were less likely to report depression and PTSD symptoms. So all in expected directions. However, when you go into the hierarchical regressions, you see a slightly different story. So at the first time point, we see that education, as Lakeisha also mentioned, was associated with less depression symptoms. So women who had a high school education or more were less likely to report depression symptoms, was not related to PTSD, and being born in the U.S. or not was not related to symptoms. And then because this is hierarchical regression, we look at the next step, and we know that over and above the effects of demographics, we see, again, in the expected directions, women who were reported having exposure to intimate partner violence were more likely to report more depression and more PTSD symptoms, and perceived stress was associated with more depression and more PTSD symptoms. Now looking at the hypothesized moderators, we wanted to see whether or not mastery and social support would predict symptoms over and above what was accounted for by the stressors of IPV and perceived stress. We see that only social support was related to depression symptoms. So over and above the negative effects of the stressors, social support or having more social support was related to having less or reporting less depression symptoms. That wasn't the case for PTSD, and there were no direct effects for mastery. Again, this is after accounting for the effects of IPV and perceived stress. And in the next step, step four, we wanted to see, now, if there were direct effects is an important issue, but then, as Lakeisha mentioned, a lot of researchers are wondering whether or not these psychological resources, if there's anything that healthcare providers can do, or psychologists or people who work with these women can do to bolster bolster them so that they wouldn't show these negative effects of stressors. So that's where step four comes in, where we tested for four interactions: stress and mastery, stress and social support, IPV and mastery, and IPV and social support. What we found that there was a significant interaction of stress and mastery and a significant interaction of stress and support. Before we can interpret these interactions, as we all know, we have to plot them. But before I go there, I wanted to also point out that our models predicted, our depression model predicted or accounted for 49% of the variance in depression symptoms. And our PTSD model, our predictors accounted for 41% of the PTSD symptoms. So a big chunk of the symptoms were accounted for by our models. Oh, and I also wanted to point out that there was a trend for social support and stress interaction. I mean, social support and IPV interaction on depression symptoms, but it was not significant. It was just a trend. So plotting that first significant interaction of social support and perceived stress on depression symptoms, we see that for women who reported high social support, the relationship between perceived stress and depression symptoms was weaker than for women who reported low social support. So this is the classic stress buffering effect that researchers sometimes talk about. And now looking at mastery, whether or not there was a stress buffering effect, we look at it, again, it was in the expected direction. Women who reported having a higher sense of mastery had a weaker relationship between perceived stress and depression symptoms. Again, in the expected direction. Now going into the longitudinal findings. Now, the predictors here, again, are from the first time point, and the outcomes are from when the woman had given birth 13 months earlier. So looking at the same design, hierarchical regression, we see that the demographics, again, education, where having more education was associated with less depression symptoms longitudinally. Looking at step two, again, reporting that you had previous exposure to IPV and reporting that you had higher stress was associated with depression and PTSD symptoms more than a year later, so 13 months later. Looking at step three, or the next step, again, social support predicted. Having more social support was related to reporting less depression symptoms, again, 13 months after you reported on social support, and this is, again, over above the effects of the stressors. And as for interactions, the only significant interaction was the stress time social support interaction on depression symptoms. And I'll show you the plot of that. And as in terms of accounting for variance, our depression model, our longitudinal depression model, accounted for 38% of the variance in depression, and our PTSD model accounted for only 11% of the variance in PTSD. And plotting that interaction, same relationship. It's a classic stress buffering effect. The social support that women reported at when they were pregnant was, for those women, there was a weaker relationship between perceived stress and depression symptoms at time two, again, 13 months after they had their babies. So what does that tell us? Perceived stress and intimate partner violence are robust risk factors, and we saw that it was related to symptoms cross-sectionally and longitudinal. So no matter what we do, but these are robust risk factors that we need to pay attention to. Also, there's some indication that mastery and social support may serve as a protective function. So there was some support for that hypothesis here. However, there were no significant IPV times moderator moderator of mastery and social support. So is it it's possible, or this kind of lends to the conclusion that it's possible that the negative effects of intimate partner violence are too great, and bolstering people's psychological and social support resources is not enough to counteract out these negative effects of the trauma. What do we know? What can we do with that information? It could be that healthcare providers could encourage the development of psychological skills and social support networks in these women. However, again, we know that it might not be enough for women who have had exposure for intimate partner violence, and there's strong implications for maternal, physical, and mental health, as we indicated, but also for infant and child health, because what happens to these women and the perceived stress and the symptoms that they experience is related to how they're going to parent their children. So, and we know that IPV is related to negative outcomes in children, so we also have to look at the implications for how they parent their children, parenting skills, attachment, bonding, and things like that are related to long-term child outcomes. And I just want to thank a few people. Michael Rodriguez, again, he's the project's PI. Lakeisha Sumner, my fellow panelist. And Lina Palomares, she's our project manager of Proyecto Cuna at UCLA. And the UCLA Center for Culture, Trauma, and Mental Health Disparities, project PI, or center PI, Gail Wyatt. Thank you.